بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا. وقال تبارك وتعالى: أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. لدرس رسائل دروس شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, regarding the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, three facts are established without a shadow of doubt. The first fact is that they came from one of the darkest periods in the history of the world. The Sahaba lived through a very dark era in the history of humanity, and that era was known as Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance and the days of darkness. Then the second fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the blessing of His beloved messenger, Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them out of that darkness of Jahiliyyah, and Allah brought them into the light of Iman and Islam, and they became the best and the greatest of Allah's servants after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. So that is the second reality. First reality is they came from the darkest period, and the second reality is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them out from that and made them from being amongst the lowest of their people of the time to such an extent that even the superpowers of that time did not want to rule over them, and is to say that these people are not even worthy of ruling over, we're not worthy of even conquering them, because they are the slaves of our slaves. Antum abidu abidina, you are the slaves of our slaves. This is how lowly they were in the eyes of the people, of the powers of that time. But from that depths of degradation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated them to the heights of glory. So that is the second reality. And the third reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them such majestic victories and such conquest that it never witnessed in the history of humanity and mankind, that in such a short period of time they conquered so much of the lands of the world of that time that never before were such victories seen or witnessed. And that was on the basis of the iman and on the basis of the qualities of iman that they possessed. It is only on the basis of the iman and the qualities of iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them these incredible victories, and that no enemy could stand before them. And in a matter of just a few years, they conquered the two superpowers of that time. Something that would be regarded as impossible almost. It would be regarded almost as impossible that how could people who were so backward in such a short period of time rise to such heights and such glory that in such a short period of time they were able to conquer the superpowers of that time. The two superpowers of that time was the powers of Caesar and Kisra and the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. These were the two mighty empires of that time. They were the two superpowers of that time, like how in this day and age people talk of the superpowers of the world. Those were the superpowers of that time, and in that short period of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory over these superpowers, and they conquered these superpowers. But what was the reason, what was the basis, what was the factors that allowed them to conquer these superpowers? This is what we need to understand, and this is what we need to emulate, and we need to follow, and we need to implement in our lives if we wish to see some respect and honor for this ummah, and if we want to see Allah's help with this ummah. Then there's no other way to go about it than to go about it in the way that the best of this ummah went about it, and that was the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So the third reality is that all these victories Allah gave them, it was on the basis of their qualities and the attributes that they possessed. It was on that basis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them these victories, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them that honor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them that elevation and that the huge acceptance and respect that they commanded. So what were those qualities? What were those attributes? That is mentioned in various books, in various kitabs. I would like to share two or three such passages regarding those attributes and qualities that they possessed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them such victory, and Allah gave them such might and power that they would enter the battlefield and the enemy would not be able to withstand their assault or attack even for the extent of the milking of a camel, and they would be defeated. Allahu Akbar. In a short while, like within minutes, the enemies would be defeated in the battlefield. And it was always a case of the enemy coming with the largest amount of people, heavily armed, heavily equipped, and possessing mighty armies. They would come, but none of that would be able to deter the Sahaba, and all their might and all their power that they would come with would be wiped out in a matter of moments. How come they were able to gain these victories, such brilliant and lightning victories in the battlefield, despite being ill-equipped and despite having less numbers? What was it that gave them the cutting edge, or that was the winning streak for them? And this is what the kitabs have mentioned, that the generals of the enemies and the rulers of the enemies were also very, very anxious to know that what is their secret, how come they are able to fight so valiantly, and how they are able to defeat us so disgracefully. They wanted to know also the secret, and so they would sometimes send their spies in the ranks of Sahaba to go and investigate and to go and study what was it that gave them these victories. And the spies would come back and they would report to their leaders that these are the things because of which they are victorious. So these are the things that have been mentioned in various texts and various kitabs, and I would like to just share one or two of these for us to understand that what are those qualities, what are those factors of success that they possessed, which today unfortunately and very sadly we do not possess it, or if we possess it, we possess very little of it, or almost nothing of it, and they had it in full measure. So I would like to just quote one, two of the passages regarding this. As I mentioned, that when the Sahaba, they launched their attacks, the enemy would not even be able to stand before them to the extent of the milking of a camel, meaning just a matter of a few minutes, and they would be routed. كَانَ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم لَا يَثْبُتُ لَهُمُ الْعَدُوُ فُوَاقَ نَاقَةٍ عِنْدَ اللِّقَى. Even to the extent of the milking of a camel, the enemy would not be able to stand before them. So, Hirqal, Heraclius or Hercules, who was the leader and the ruler of the Roman Empire, the most important and most powerful person of that superpower of that time, he was very perturbed and disturbed. And he wanted to know from his people that why is it that we are losing hands down? We got all their weapons, we got all the men. How come these people with so little, they are conquering us? What is their formula? What is their secret? And what is the reason for our defeat? And so he called his people. فَقَالَ هِرَقَلُوا وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ إِنْتَاقِيَا لَمَّا قَدِمَتْ مُنْهَزِمَةُ الرُّومِ. When the defeated armies came back, he was based in Antioch, in Taqiyya, as it is called in Turkey today, and he said to them, وَيْلَكُمْ, woe unto you people, أَخْبِرُونِي أَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ أَلَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ أَلَيْسُوا بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ. Woe unto you people, tell me about these people who are fighting you. Are they not human beings like you? أَلَيْسُوا بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ. Are they not human beings like you? Or are they some other creation that is fighting you? So the defeated armies that came back, they said to their leader, قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. No, they are human beings like us. Then he said, فَأَنْتُمْ أَكْثَرُوا أَمْ هُوَ. Are you in the majority, or are they in the majority in the battlefield? قَالُوا بَلْ نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ مِنْهُمْ أَضْعَافًا فِي كُلِّ مَوْطِنِ. They said, we are much more than them, we are overwhelming majority against them in every battle, every battlefield, we are always the majority. قَالَ فَمَا بَالُكُمْ تَنْهَزِمُونَ. He said to them, what is wrong with you people that you're getting defeated like this so badly? You got the numbers, you got the arms, you got the weapons, you got everything. How can these people be defeating you? They are human beings like you are human beings. You are more than them. What is the reason that they are defeating you so badly every time? So they were afraid to speak in front of their ruler, because they didn't know what is going to be his reaction. But one elderly man, an old man from amongst their leaders, he spoke up. قَالَ شَيْخٌ مِنْ عُظَمَائِهِمْ. One of the elders, an elderly people from their army spoke up, and he said, مِنْ أَجْلِي. I will give you the reasons, he said, O ruler, مِنْ أَجْلِي أَنَّهُمْ يَقُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ وَيَسُومُونَ النَّهَارِ. Because they pray at night and they fast in the day. At night they are standing before their Lord and they are reading salah and they worship in him and they begging of him and they are repenting to him and they are crying to him and they are supplicating to him at night and in the daytime they fast. وَيُوفُونَ بِالْعَهَدِ And they are very, very particular about fulfilling their promises and undertakings. If they gave their word, then that was it. They were people of, as we say in our terminology, they were people of Zaban. People of Zaban. Which today, unfortunately, has gone out of the windows in our communities. People give you their word, leave alone giving their word, they give you in black and white, but then they will go against that, what is in black and white, in writing. So, they were people of integrity when it came to their promises and their undertakings. They were always very firm on that. They did not veer from that. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ And they encourage one another towards good deeds. And they prevent each other from evil deeds. They are always encouraging one another towards righteousness. And they are preventing each other from vice and sin. وَيَتَنَاصَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ And they do justice between themselves. They do justice between themselves. There's absolute justice. No matter who you are, you can be, you know, very mighty, powerful, wealthy, but justice will be justice. Justice will be done. Even if a poor person has to claim against the wealthiest person, if his claim is correct, justice will be done. Now, he started telling the leader, this is one side of the story, this is the picture of these Muslims. And us, look at our story, look at who we are, look at how we are. Now he tells his leader, his ruler, he tells him, and وَمِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّنَا We نَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرِ We drink liquor and wine. وَنَزْنِي We fornicate and we do adultery. وَنَرْكَبُ الْحَرَامِ And we indulge in every haram and vice and evil and every prohibited thing. وَنَنْقُدُ الْعَهْدَ We break every promise and undertaking that we make. وَنَخْسِبْ We usurp the wealth of and things of people unjustly and unfairly. وَنَزْلِمْ We oppress people. وَنَأْمُرْ بِالسُّخْتِ وَنَنْهَا أَمَّا يَرْضَ اللَّهِ We encourage people towards vice and immorality and shamelessness. And we prohibit and stop people from the things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنُفْسِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ And we make mischief on earth. That's who we are. When the leader heard the old man speaking, he had no option but he said, Anta saddaqtani, you have actually confirmed what were my thoughts. I had the same things in my mind, but you have now confirmed the reality of why we are always losing and why they are always victorious. Because of these qualities, they are victorious, and because of our qualities, we are defeated. A similar incident is narrated about Another group of the armies of Sahaba went to one area and they defeated the people there. The ruler of that area, he called a person who was Arabic speaking and he had Arab features. He said, look here, you become the spy and I want you to go in the midst of these people and I want you to look for the secret. What secret is there to their victories? How come they are so powerful and mighty? And how come they defeat us? Go and study it and come and report to me. So,
He goes
and he spends some time in the company of the Sahaba, observing very carefully. They did not detect him because he spoke Arabic and he appeared like an Arab, so did not detect him who he was, and he stayed there as a spy. And then he returns to his ruler and he says to him, جِئْتُكَ مِنْ عِنْدِ قَوْمٍ يَقُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ وَيَصُومُونَ النَّهَارِ وَيُوفُونَ بِالْعَهْدِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Almost exactly the same words as the other elderly man, the old man mentioned. The spy also uses almost the same words to describe the Sahaba. He says they stand at night in worship, and they fast in the daytimes, and they fulfill their promises and their undertakings, and they encourage virtue, and they prevent people from vice and wrong. رُهْبَانٌ بِاللَّيْلِ وَفُرْسَانٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. Allahu Akbar. They are the people who are like worshippers, you know, like the, we could say, celibates or monks who dedicated themselves purely to worship. At night, if you see them, that is their condition. But in the daytime, they are brave, mighty soldiers on the backs of their horses and rushing into the thick of the battlefield fearlessly. I'm going to just leave out some of the parts because it might become a little long. Then he said to him that وَلَوْ حَدَّثْتَ جَلِيسَكَ حَدِيثًا مَا فَهِمَهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا عَلَى مِنْ أَصْوَاتِهِمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَالذِّكْرِ. When they engage in their worship and they engage in their zikr, in the remembrance of Allah, and they engage in the recitation of Quran, then you will not be able to hear your companion even speaking to you what he's saying. You won't understand. Why? Because they're reading so loudly and they are so absorbed in recitation of the Quran and the zikr that their voices become so loud in the zikr and Quran, you won't even hear your friend what he's talking next to you. This is how they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such devotion and dedication. And he said that there are such people that they yatanasafuna bainahum, they stand up for justice to such an extent. Walau sariqa malikuhum laqata'u yadahu. Even if the king had to steal, they'll cut his hand off too. They don't care if he's a king. What is it if he's a king? It does not matter. He has broken Allah's law, his hand will be cut. وَلَوْ زَنَا لَرَجَمُوهُ. And if he had to commit adultery, they will stone him to death. لِإِثَارِهِمُ الْحَقِّ عَلَى الْهَوَىٰ وَإِتِّبَائِهِمْ إِيَّاهُ. Because they always give preference to truth over desire, and they give preference to following the truth over the following of desires. فَلَمَّا انْتَهَى الرَّجُلُ الْعَرَبِي مِنْ كَلَامِهِ قَالَ الْقَائِدَ الرُّومِي. When this Arab spy finished his speech, the ruler of the Romans, he responded and he said, لَإِنْ كَانَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ كَمَا تَزْعُمُ وَكَمَا ذَكَرْتَ لَبَطْنُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ ظَهْرِهَا لِمَنْ يُرِيدُ قِتَالَهُ. He said, if they are as you describe them, and this is their qualities, and this is how they are, then it is better for us to be buried under the ground than to be living on the earth. Anyone who tries to challenge them or oppose them, is better for that person to be dead than to be alive. My respected elders and dear brothers, this is just a glimpse from, you know, many dozens or hundreds of such passages that can be quoted about the attributes and the qualities of Sahaba and the reasons for their victory and the glory in the battlefield. We speak about these things, we say these things, we mention these things, but there's a reality behind it. There's a reality behind it. They live that reality. We are just words, but we have no reality behind us. Our example, if we may use an example to understand, is you have a lion, and there are two manifestations of that lion. One is a lion that is alive, a real lion that has got a soul in it, it's got life in it. and one is a stuffed lion, a lion that's got the appearance of a lion, but it has got no soul in it. It is a stuffed lion. Now, if you put the two together, then you will know what is the difference. And that is the difference. If we put us together with them, that is the reality. They were like the real lion, and we are like a stuffed lion. Their appearance may be similar, but there's no reality behind it. We are like a stuffed lion. We have got no might, no strength, no life, no spirit, to such an extent that a real lion and a whole, you know, army of people will run. But a stuffed lion, even a little toddler, will smack it and will pull its hair and mane and pull its tail, and because he knows it will not be able to do any harm. That is the reality of the situation. This is the comparison between us and them. May Allah remove our weaknesses, Allah strengthen our iman, and Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to follow in their footsteps. The cause of the weakness of the ummah has been prescribed. There are many books that have been written by the great ulama regarding this. It's a matter of now putting it into action and correcting it and trying to rectify. We may not reach 100% there, but let us try to reach somewhere 10%, 20%, 50%, wherever we can. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.